everybody. I'm Lieutenant Governor Byron Mollott. It is now 2:00, and I would like to call this public hearing to order. The purpose of this hearing is to invite testimony from members of the public regarding Citizen Initiative 17FSH2, an act providing for the protection of wild salmon and fish and wildlife habitat, which is appearing on the November 6th general election ballot. The public hearing is required under a law passed by the Alaska State Legislature. The statute requires that hearings be held two or more concerning the initiative in each judicial district of the state at least 30 days before the November 6th election. Only those attending in person today will be able to testify, but anyone may submit public comment on ballot measure one at any time through the online public notice. The handouts from this hearing are also available for viewing and downloading as part of this public notice. Written comments on ballot measure one may also be mailed to the Office of Lieutenant Governor in Juneau, Alaska, 99811. Anyone unable to attend a hearing in person will be able to provide testimony during a statewide teleconference currently scheduled for October 13th, 2018. Anyone wishing to testify in person today should sign up using the provided sheet on the table at the back of the room. You might mention that on the sign-up sheet. Thank you, Mr. Charlie. There will be no Q&A as part of today's hearing, but representatives from the Departments of Fish and Game, Environmental Conservation, Transportation and Public Facilities, and Natural Resources will be reviewing the testimony and comment received for this initiative. There is a summary of the ballot proposition printed in UPIC on the table at the back of the room. And at this time, I would like to ask Mr. Charlie to read the formal ballot summary in UPIC.
We know when ballot measure number one, up from all in 17FSH2, Alch Gutmu, Chumalra, Morish, Kluki, Kanput Kumas, Kaitnik, Kut, Kuimakovit, Kosarvich to Ruvitlu, Pitaka, Sua, Nunak, Tukai. When Alch Gutchumach, Alch Gutchumach, Wum Alch Gut. Mukchuk ngalrim anhut angkak an kitu kanih cekai Alaska malhkutai kali kahtak yulrenun aduh kan ke neket kui makwitni kosak tu kwitni itah ketua nunak tu kaitni umalhkut Kut mukchuk ngalrin itik kichik kai ya pula gihtik nuta anuk chuklip nuk kali kahtak ya ganun chimik kai nunsu. Wala kan na chuka pan nil kupikum kuhan na pat na yo kuka u pichik kyun na pipiyos kan kani u ya pula gihtik kali kahtan permit tan kani Chikit niuk ngalit rutkin kunun kani ijuk nukut kui magwit ni kawan ni irin yahtur wit amakut kani alakku tait duk nirikan nir lukin. Chali sugu munokan ek takka taima chi manit tun ayuk hai tuk unnomak bilahat aktu aktu mangai tatawam alakut kijuk permitan man nakan piutsa tamakun kani ya nakan ya pula gihta pili yuk ngah kauluni mani kasa man na alas kagi lohluku chali suna u mektam mamaluk mai alakut pul ni kahtu mace kace klik makut kani ya I took a quick chaplach a pit damn gum pluck and palooked at it took a tamakun billy lily. Don't I plun I pass to can a shut into now we looting pick up the mananuna a silver honey pick up to a tamakut honey a new team star. Lachtigkeit fein auf Schuchbach fein wallachtig ich bin lachtigkeit dann da ja na wusia lukhani anuna nqitte igni wit paswa satte kui nqitte kui mahwit asina gukhani au lukchulakat.
Thank you. The order for receiving testimony today will be a statement of support from the sponsors of the proposition. They will have a statement to read, a statement of opposition from those who oppose the proposition, and then we will accept testimony from attendees in the order they signed up to testify. Testimony will hopefully be limited to as short a time as possible. In prior hearings, we have limited testimony to 2 minutes per person, but this hearing is scheduled to last from 2 until 4, and it looks like we aren't going to have a difficult time in hearing everybody, so we will give leeway in the time of the testimony today.
Testimony of Chisumai, Chivani, 2 minutes, Tiagra, Bilasuya, Togam, Yukutachamai, Tang, Likwai, Pani, Taman, Takani, Lukhani, Alachulit, Bichibut.
For those testifying in Yupik today, Mr. Charlie will translate your testimony into English, and for anyone testifying in English that may have difficulty or Yupik understanding any portion of this hearing, please speak up and we will make every effort between Mr. Charlie and myself to explain whatever it is that you wish to have explained. We will now begin accepting testimony. We are not on any kind of a teleconference here today. We have a recorder that will record all of the testimony, and that will become part of the public record. Do we have any initiative sponsor? Do we have an initiative sponsor present to read a statement of support?
Good afternoon, Lieutenant Governor. Is this on? Okay. Good afternoon. It's nice to see you. For the record, I'm Dr. Stephanie Quinn Davidson. I'm a fisheries scientist and have worked in salmon fisheries on the Yukon River for 7 years, first as a research biologist and then a fishery manager for the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. I now serve as the director of the Yukon River Intertribal Fish Commission with Tanana Chiefs Conference. I first arrived on the Yukon during the lowest king salmon runs on record. It's the same time as the lowest runs here on the Kuskokwim. The king salmon declined due to reasons that are out of our control, but it doesn't diminish the lessons of what happens when our salmon disappear. I have traveled up and down the river, visiting nearly 30 communities since then, and I've seen what happens when communities lose their salmon. I've heard story after story of loss of culture, tradition, knowledge, and a way of life and a decline in well-being. It is my experience on the Yukon and these stories that led me to become one of the co-sponsors of Ballot Measure 1. All Alaskans have been given the gift of salmon, passed down through generations. Salmon and other related fisheries support a $2 billion annual economy, 32,500 fishing jobs, communities around the state, and a way of life for thousands of Alaskans. In addition, in many areas of the state, our tourism economy is driven by visitors coming to Alaska to fish and to hunt and view wildlife, supporting an additional 43,000 jobs and adding $4.8 billion annually to the economy. We are at a critical moment in the history of our state. Our salmon runs are mostly intact, but Alaska is growing fast, and a new generation of mines, dams, and large projects are being proposed. Our 60-year-old ineffective law that is meant to protect salmon habitat will not protect us from the worst effects of mining and overdevelopment on salmon, not when it's perfectly legal for corporations to wipe out salmon spawning and rearing streams. We are living with a 1950s operating system for salmon streams, and it can't keep up. When Alaska became a state, the drafters of the Alaska Constitution recognized the value of these resources and created directives to protect salmon and other renewable resources. Specifically, I refer to Article 8 of the Alaska Constitution, which reserves fish, wildlife, and water to the people of Alaska for common use. It directs the state to sustainably utilize, manage, and maintain our fisheries and other renewable resources, and it directs the legislature to equally prioritize and balance the conservation of natural resources with the state's interest in the utilization and development of them. These constitutional directives serve as the foundation for Alaska's standard of care when managing our salmon resources. The problem is that Alaska's current fish habitat protection and permitting law is too general to truly balance sustainable fisheries and responsible development. Under the current law, the commissioner shall issue a fish habitat permit unless the plans and specifications are insufficient for the proper protection of fish and game. However, there is no definition of what the proper protection of fish and game means. That means that the current law does not provide the certainty or accountability in the system to ensure that the law will be applied consistently over time and without political influence. We pride ourselves in Alaska on the best managed fisheries in the world, but we simply can't manage only harvest and expect our salmon populations to remain strong. We need to also have strong habitat management in place, especially during times of low returns. The opposition will tell you that Ballot Measure 1 won't do the one thing it's meant to do, improve salmon runs. And they couldn't be more inaccurate. In tough times, the single most important thing we can do is provide healthy habitat for salmon to come back to. Having clean, healthy habitat for salmon to return to will help mitigate the impacts of climate change in the ocean. It is a much-needed buffer for our struggling salmon. Irresponsible development that damages salmon habitat will only exacerbate the declines we are currently seeing with salmon across the state. Ballot Measure 1 will ensure that we are not making matters worse for our salmon. When our family members are sick, we make them soup to help them get better faster. If ocean conditions are our salmon's sickness, then healthy, protected habitat is the soup that will help our salmon get better faster. That's why Ballot Measure 1 is so important right now. Ballot Measure 1 offers a proactive solution to strengthen Alaska law and protect salmon streams as Alaska continues to grow. A yes vote on Ballot Measure 1 will establish clear, enforceable science-based standards for development around salmon streams, requiring things like adequate water in streams, fish passage, and clean water that wild salmon need, while also requiring mining companies to pay for cleanup of long-term damage to salmon streams. A yes vote will create a two-track permitting system to ensure that projects that pose little threat to fish habitat get a minor permit and are processed quickly, but large projects like the Pebble Mine are put on the major permit track to receive more scrutiny because they have the potential to damage Alaska Salmon Fisheries. Thank you. A yes vote will ensure that Alaskans, for the first time, have a voice in the permitting process for major development projects that could harm salmon streams. A yes vote will give Fish and Game authority over all salmon streams in Alaska, not just 50% of them. And a yes vote will create a path for responsible development projects to move forward in a way that protects our wild salmon legacy. Alaska is the last place in the United States that still enjoys wild, healthy, thriving salmon populations. We can look to the lower 48 and we can see what irresponsible development does to salmon, but we have the opportunity to finally get it right here in Alaska. My hope for our future is that we can learn from the past and choose a different path. Protecting our salmon runs for future generations is about as Alaskan as it gets. And I hope that you will join us and vote yes on ballot measure 1 on November 6th. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Quinn Davidson. Is there a spokesperson for opposition to ballot proposition 1?
Good afternoon. Thank you, Lieutenant Governor and Mr. Charlie, for holding a hearing here in Bethel. My name is Marliana Hall. I'm the Executive Director for the Resource Development Council for Alaska. While that is my job, I'm here today because I was born and raised in Nome and have lived in Alaska my whole life, and I hope to continue to be able to live here and work here for the rest of it. I grew up fishing and hunting and boating the rivers around the state. I grew up during the construction and operation of the Trans-Alaska Pipeline, the creation and administration of the Permanent Fund Dividend, and other significant economic developments that make Alaska's economy tick and provide us with the ability to live and work here. I have the pleasure of serving as the chair of the Stand for Alaska Vote No on 1 Coalition, as there are many reasons why this measure concerns me. Ballot Measure 1 would eliminate our science-based fish habitat protections and replace them with red tape and unclear, untested regulations. This not only threatens our jobs and our economy, it threatens our rights as property owners and our ability to maintain or develop public infrastructure, and it doesn't do the one thing that the proponents say it will do. It doesn't fix the problems facing our salmon runs. God bless you. Our communities in this area, for communities in this area, the ability to expand or improve ports or airports, the opportunity to build or upgrade wastewater treatment facilities, or even something as simple as putting in a dock will be tangled in a web of red tape. From good-intentioned efforts, like eliminating honey buckets, to improving energy infrastructure, this measure will hurt community development. Across the state, road safety improvements, North Slope projects, docks, and more will be put at risk. This measure will shut down or delay existing operations and future projects that support the livelihoods of tens of thousands of Alaskans. Key projects would see extreme delays or shutdowns. Existing operations would only be exempt until their current permits expire, which typically is 5 years or less. After that, they would be required to reapply for permits under the new regulations. These projects include community wastewater treatment facilities and other projects that require Title 16 permits. Many of these operations would not be able to comply. In the Yukon-Kuskokwim area, the lack of infrastructure is a reality, and this ballot measure will only hinder building or improving roads and other much-needed projects here and around the state. It doesn't do what the proponents say it will do. So nearly 5,500 Alaskan businesses, organizations, and groups, and tens of thousands of individual Alaskans have joined together to oppose this flawed measure. The Alaska Native Corporations have joined the Stand for Alaska Vote No on 1 effort because it threatens the way the Native corporations manage and develop their lands and the way the Native corporations provide for their people. Whether it be a community or development project, this measure will dramatically increase costs and harm rural opportunities. This measure threatens jobs, the way we do business, and our rights as Alaskans to develop our lands and our communities. It causes too much damage and goes too far. Could we make reasonable improvements to habitat protections? Perhaps, but Balor Measure 1 doesn't do that, and it eliminates the opportunity for Alaskans to have that conversation. The measure is poorly written and vague and gives too much power to one singular government appointee. If it passes, it'll be lawyers and courts that will determine what exactly this complex measure does and what it doesn't do at great costs to Alaskans and our communities. So the ballot measure does not solve, but rather creates problems, problems for communities, for businesses, and for everything we do across the state. For these reasons, and many more, I ask my fellow Alaskans to vote no on ballot measure 1 on November 6th. And I thank you for the opportunity to provide our statement of opposition.
Thank you. We will now begin accepting testimony from the public. And we will begin with Alex Nick.
Thank you, Lieutenant Governor. I am Alex Nick. I'm originally from a village of Russian Mission. I moved to Bethel over 20 years ago, and I'm currently retired. I would like to speak about my opposition for ballot measure 1, because the fact that it has not been publicly visible long enough for everyone to understand because of the legal terms used in the legislation itself. What I would like to speak about is that although this has to do with fishery habitat, anadromous fish habitat, it could also hinder and adversely affect subsistence way of life in probably majority of the communities within some foreseeable future. What I would like to mention is that when legal terms like that looks like everyday language, legal terms are very, very tricky. I am in no way knowledgeable in legal terms, but I've been involved enough in many, many things like Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, for example, State of Alaska Municipalities, local school systems like RAAA. When we look at any legal document, what we need to do is we need to review it so that we understand it and ask questions. What I personally think is that this legislation talks about permit system for the projects, but I also do believe in the future villages like Tuliksak and Quithluk and some other areas where there's anadromous fish spawning will be asked to use possibly tier 2 permit system to harvest salmon fisheries in summertime. That's not the only thing. Another thing is that some of the local communities like Tuliksak and Quithluk, their fish camps are located in the drainage where salmon spawns in summertime. So my thought train tells me that in the future there will be permit system required. And if it's tier two permit system, I'm not sure if there's any such thing as tier two fishery harvest permits. Those will be limited. Not everyone will be fishing in the communities if there's something that's going to will have effect on salmon in any given drainage. We're not talking about only Tuliksag. We're not talking about only Quislook. We're talking about some nearly 20,000 streams and rivers in the state of Alaska. And it's also probably going to be affecting, will probably have some adverse effect on projects that are planned for the communities like Tundra Villages, for example, because the fact that some of the salmon begin to swim up Johnson River. And also in other villages, some other villages like downriver, maybe in Gallic River, there's salmon staging or hanging around in summertime downriver. So it's not going to have any effect on projects, major projects. It's possibly going to also have effect on projects in community like Bethel, because the fact that the salmon goes up Brown Slough sometime. You know, we don't go down there and monitor salmon going up there feeding on something, or maybe just checking up river, or maybe they might be spawning too. In this day and age, salmon are beginning to be seen in the areas where traditional knowledge indicates, you know, like for example, in Yukon and in Kuskokwim, in small drainages, there are some spawning salmon or spawned out salmon, like in Eek Lake, for example, which is possibly about, I'm not sure, I don't know what the distance is. It looks like it's approximately maybe 15 miles southeast of Bethel.
Could you begin to summarize, please?
Yes, I would like to make sure that people know I am in opposition to ballot measure one, and some of what I mentioned are my rationale for opposing. Thank you, Lieutenant Governor.
Thank you, Mr. Leek. Kathy Hansen.
Good afternoon, Lieutenant Governor, and your partner there, Charlie. Charlie, I'll tell you, I've lived here in Bethel for 40 years, and Charlie was one of my first students. He was in high school. So I've lived in Bethel for 40 years. I've been a subsistence salmon user for all of that time and a commercial fisherman for 35. Wild fresh salmon is something that we treasure, and we are fighting to make sure that our people have that treasure available to them forever. In the short time I've lived here, I've already seen numerous pressures on our wild salmon stocks that are decimating them. There's the pressure of offshore from high seas fisheries. There's pressure from global climate changes. And there's pressure from development that is not sufficiently regulated. It's important that we continue to address all of these issues. The Stand for Salmon initiative is not a radical measure. It's an effort to update our 59-year-old regulations to ensure the continued viability of our salmon habitat. An example that comes to mind is Donlin Gold. If, or should I say when, Donlin Gold destroys one of the numerous salmon streams in its vicinity. Current state law allows it to designate a salmon stream elsewhere in the state to restore that rather than the one that it has destroyed in my backyard. Why is that? So that huge international company can save money, because it would cost more to mitigate damages in our region than, say, in a stream near Fairbanks. That might have made sense 59 years ago, when it seemed that there was an endless supply of salmon. But we know differently now. Those kinds of laws are not looking out for salmon. They're looking out for corporate profits. That needs to change, and Stand for Salmon will change it. So I'm voting yes for ballot measure number one.
Okay, thank you so much.
If I may, the next person on the list is my friend Bev Hoffman. Uh-huh. She sent me her testimony because she's out of town. May I read it for her?
Go ahead.
Okay. Ms. Hoffman. All right. I'll be Bev Hoffman now. I'm 67 years old, and I was born and raised in Bethel, Alaska, along the Kuskokwim River. Ballot Measure 1, Stand for Salmon, needs to be passed by voters to protect our salmon spawning habitat. It has been since 1959, when Alaska became a state, that salmon habitat protection has been addressed in our state statutes. That was 59 years ago. It is time to be thinking of the future of our salmon species and their habitat. Maybe some of you think it's not perfect, and that may be true, but it's a start. We live in fragile times. So much of our natural resources are being destroyed by people who care less about the people who depend on the river and the land for food. These people are using economic development as the reason to be against Stand for Salmon. They are fear-mongering and using statements that bear no truth in opposition. Now, I don't have the big money that Donlin, Conoco, and all those big industry giants who are spending millions in advertising Stand for Alaska. They could care less about my needs and my dependence on the land and the river for my food. I choose to live this life, this way of life that I love deeply. I choose salmon for my food, and that's why I spend much of my time trying to protect that resource. That's why I will vote yes. I stand for salmon and ballot measure one. Thank you.
Thank you. I'd like to note that the Office of Representative Zolkowski is present here. Ben, welcome. Next, we will hear from Sammy Jackson II.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Lieutenant Governor Malott. My name is Sammy Jackson II. I was born here in Bethel and raised in the village of Akiak. I'm 33 years old. I'm the son of Sammy and Deborah Jackson, grandson of John Philp, the late Mary Philp, and the late Marion Jackson, all whom are from Akiak. I've lived a subsistence lifestyle my whole life. The Kuskokwim is important for many reasons, not only for our fish, but also for the vegetation that grows along the banks and the land mammals that also use the Kuskokwim River. We rely on the river for our way of life since time immemorial. All sorts of fish species and land mammals will have a huge impact if this river and its tributaries are harmed in any way. It is important for our future generations to practice our way of life and live on this land that our Creator has given us, therefore respecting and protecting our culture. Ballot Measure 1 will help us by renewing ancient laws that don't apply to today's modern ways of living. It'll help protect all sorts of species of fish, including the Chinook, which may be endangered. Today is a new era, and will continue to change for the better. As the old saying says, we only learn from our mistakes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jackson. Sam Jackson?
Good afternoon, Governor. Lieutenant Governor, I mean. My name is Sam Jackson. I'm
from Akiak. I was born in Bethel, lived my whole life in Akiak, other than going to school here and there. Where I went to school with your partner there. I could do my testimony in Yupik and give him some real hard stuff to translate, but I'll be nice to him today. I was born about 4 years after statehood. And I was really lucky that I was raised by my late grandparents. My mom recently died a few years ago, but I really credit my way of life to my grandparents. One of my first memories is checking net with my grandfather and fishing with my grandfather at a young age. And there is so much fish. There was so much fish up until about 20-some years ago. I believed we had a good system going. And then all of a sudden the fish started to decline. As a grandfather of about 20 kids, I've noticed that I learn even though I get older. And I have to adapt, change some of my ways. And I think these laws of 60 plus years need to be changed. We need to change with the times. I know it's hard to change sometimes, but you know, when I heard about this stand for salmon, I got real happy because somebody's doing something that they care. I support, you know, standing for salmon. I support the ballot measure, and I wish it was done in a little more in layman's terms instead of confusing, where I believe some of our elders are confused. But you know, my grandpa was a prospector, a miner, with a few partnering with a few other men, prominent people, up until about a time when they figured that this is not good for us, this mining is not good for us. And so he got out of there, and he died. He passed away in 1981, but I like to credit a lot of my upbringing to my grandparents, who were born in the early 1900s, pre-statehood dates. And I'm no scientist. I can only testify what I've encountered. And numbers are declining from, 40 adrift of Chinook to down to 5 if you're lucky. But I do support this ballot measure, and I'm going to vote yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jackson. Robert Lecander or Lecander?
Lecander.
Lecander?
Byron, can I call you Byron?
Just say, hey you.
Hey you, when you gonna run? I'm with the Otalamid Tribal Native Council, and we made the resolution supporting this resolution one. And I was born and raised here in Bethel, lived all my life, and I don't know, they put names on these things, subsistence. What subsistence? I don't know, native, I grew up, we were, it's Uyak, it's the way we lived. And we didn't have, that's how we call it. I mean, it was natural. We lived off the land and whatnot. And you know, it was territory yet when I grew up fishing game. Now I'm goose management deal was on then, and now they're apologizing. But like I said, I approve this resolution, or we do it. And I hope it isn't too late. But they keep saying your history repeats itself. And in school, what was their first? Arithmetic, English, and history. And they stressed those three. And I look on the East Coast, what happened there? What happened on the West Coast? All commercially. Now it's happening up here. But I hope it's caught on time. And my issue is seems like we're the ones that all mostly trying to save it. The ones on the river systems. I hardly hear about them on the ocean. Maybe they have people counting fish, you know, salmon that are caught. Counters, they call them, on the boats. But like I said, I hope it isn't too late. You know, what happened to the whales? They had to quit because there was hardly any more left. It's history repeating itself all over and over. We never learn. Money is we have commercial fishing. And there's another, what was it that I had in mind? Yeah, it's the way I look at it, like I said, we're the ones on the river system that, just like you and your children, and where the fish, the children are, they don't get in trouble until they leave the home. And I believe the fish here too, they spend maybe a year here, and then they go out in the ocean and they leave the sanctuary of the river. That's 5-7 years they're out there. Where I'm assuming that's where they get in trouble, just like our children. When they go out, leave the home, they get in trouble. But eventually, they call it the last frontier, but sometimes I wonder, is progress too fast, or what is it? I reminisce on the old days, but it's fast, everything's moving right along. Still remember when we had the phone, they crank one time to the neighbor, and the Indians were using smoke signals and beating on drums. That wasn't long ago. But the Old Mill Council say yes to this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you, Robert. Moses Owen. Yes, sir. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I understand your first name is Honorable. My respect to you, sir. My name is Moses Owen. I'm from Akiak. I represent Akiak Native Community. and I stand for salmon. I'm in support of it. Just like these other elders here indicated, that's my way of life. And that's the only way that I can express it, is from here. I was born a native, and I will always be a native. And anything to protect our way of life and our natural resources is what I support. And there's a lot of misunderstanding out there on this ballot measure. And I can read. The first time I read it, I was in support of it, looking at, you know, how I thought it was going to help me. But after listening to my elders and the community members, that's not the case. And I think if we protect our livestock out here, the animals and the fish that we live on, that we depend on, we support that. And I've said how many times now, I can't eat money when somebody gives it to me and live off of that. That can only last for only a couple of days. Even sometimes money doesn't even last in my wallet or my pocket. It somehow develops a hole in there and just disappears. So I can't depend on that. The one I can depend on is the livestock and the animals that are out there that I live on. And I'd like for it to stay that way. And I like what's in ballot measure one is for the state with the Fish and Wildlife Services to that will protect our way of life, in fact, by protecting our livelihood out here. Instead of directing laws and regulations against subsistence users, you know, and if they did that in the first place, we'll go along with those. I support ballot measure one. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Moses. If I'm holy and you're Moses, holy Moses! Mary Peltola. We weren't trying to pronounce your name.
That's okay. I could see Charlie. He was pronouncing it Newfic. Kidding. My name is Mary Peltola. I'm from Bethel. I'm a member of the Utsararmiut Native Council. My mom is a Gwichluk tribal member. She's from the tribe right upriver. I'm very thankful that Charlie is here today. I hope that when people are voting, and I know that as a lieutenant governor, you also oversee elections. And I do have concerns about people who don't think in English and don't communicate well in English or understand well in English, not understanding ballot language. Because even for people like me who are English as a first language, it's challenging. Ballot language is always a challenge. So I'm hoping that Charlie will work for the Division of Elections and explain this ballot language, because I know we have two polling places in Bethel. But, you know, that's just Bethel. There's also villages that will also need help in that department. So I just want to mention that. As for the initiative, I do support it. I grew up fishing, commercial fishing and subsistence fishing. The place where I've always fished is where my mom's grandparents basically lived, at the mouth of the Gweek River. This river, 50% of all of the Chinook harvest in Alaska is harvested on the Kuskokwim River. King salmon, silvers, chums, reds, those are all very important to us. We eat hundreds per person, hundreds of pounds probably, or I think all subsistence, it's hundreds of pounds per year. But I know my family eats a lot of salmon every year. Since 2010, we've seen our runs really, really diminished. So the average harvest for king salmon was 85,500 pounds per year on this river. The highest take ever was 110,000 salmon, not pounds. The average is 85,500 Chinook a summer. And the highest harvest recorded was 110,000 Chinook per summer. The last five summers, we've had to make do with 20,000, 30,000, or 40,000. And that's the whole river. 33 communities are all trying to figure out a way to share a very small fraction of what we used to get. And I know that opponents of this ballot measure say, and I respect the people on both sides of this issue. One of the things I don't agree with is the fear-mongering going on. And largely that's because we are already living in fear on this river. Every summer we are living in fear that we won't catch enough salmon for our families. That's a reality we've had since 2010. So hearing the ads coming at us saying this will lock down all development, I don't really believe that. If you look at the last 3 years, most of the projects that were permitted or things that were permitted, 80% were small, 20% were big. So this initiative says they can take two tracks, each permit can take two tracks, or project can take, it can be a major or a minor. 80% would be minor projects that would not be, in my opinion, I don't know, but it doesn't seem like they would be heavily regulated. But I just feel like we already have enough stress dealing with the few salmon that we are able to catch. The other thing is, I don't think I've ever heard anybody on the for Proposition 1 side say it would bring back our salmon immediately. I don't think anyone's expecting that. I think what people are trying to do is make sure that in the river systems, we're not adding to the problem. And all this is saying, and you know, if a tribe or a municipality wants to build a dock or a water treatment plant, all this says is you can't hurt salmon in doing it. And I don't know of any tribe or municipality that would want to hurt salmon. We're all made of salmon in Alaska. We are all pro-salmon in Alaska. And certainly, I don't see things in the way that this ballot measure is written that would be overly restrictive. So, thank you.
Thank you, Mary.
Susan Taylor?
Yeah, I wrote maybe on that just to see if they covered all the bases I would cover. So thank you for this opportunity. Yeah, people are getting confused. I am pro stand for salmon. And I think people are getting confused because the other side says stand for Alaska. So I do think AFN will be an opportune time to explain and clarify and get the word out statewide about what this means. And I do think we're following environmental laws from more than 50 years ago, and mining has made technological advances. So this will keep up with what they can do. Donlin Gold, they're not bad people. I mean, they've done good. They stand behind local hire. When they did the test drill sites out there, they had probably a 300% turnover rate, but they didn't give up on local employment, local hire. Plus, they had a support out there. They had the people from Alkali Lake doing workshops out there. So they're not bad people. I don't understand why the different companies want to sponsor the other side, knowing that the laws they're following are 50 years old, but they have made technological advances. I think more people would actually support development if we had stricter environmental laws in place. I think it's a win-win for both sides. I think Alaska's unique because of its environment and wildlife. It should always be the number one thing to protect. Look at what's happening in D.C. with EPA, the Environmental Protection Act. They've fired hundreds of people, terminated them, gave up the positions themselves to be covered again. They've been downsizing them drastically. The Trumpublican zombie apocalypse is happening in D.C., and it's up to Alaska to be stronger and really step up on our side to protect what we have. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Mary Nanuviak.
Good afternoon. Everybody's been calling you governor. Why aren't you running to be governor? I am not for this proposition because on the context that it's going to be helpful to everybody in this region, it's not going to be helpful whatsoever. And today, so many families are turning just nuclear family type things, and the federal and the state governments are doing the same thing. You take care of your own family, don't share your catch. And that's culturally terribly wrong, because in our culture, we take care of people even if we don't know who they are. Even if they are enemies, we don't let them go hungry. And you should know that what Nora Downhauer, Richard Downhauer, what's her name, the one who went to Harvard School, Rosita Wirl. What they've been trying to get across to the people. And those people are very smart. All the native peoples have observed these things very, very carefully from beginning of time. And it's not only just our cultural background that we study, we actually study from prehistoric times, not just of our region, but different various regions all over the world. And everyone cries about lack of money. And I can't see why we can't fish and share the fish with people who need it. And even though everything is terribly contaminated with chemicals, it's still safer to eat those fish. And how many people today are diabetics and pre-diabetics, and people who already have medical conditions that we inherited, our conditions are worsened by those. And I just got discharged from the hospital again just an hour ago, so I don't have anything written, but you probably remember how every year during the legislative session, I write things, and I suggest that everybody gets a copy. I even suggest they hang them in the toilet, they hang them on the ceiling, put them on the floor. And so my views and opinions have not changed. And I will say that the Native people are way, way better, most thorough, most correct scientists in the whole world, except for the Norwegians, who are like us, and the Hawaiian people, who are like us. And I have to say that this is going to be the first year I'm not voting, because whoever is running because I'm a nonpartisan voter, and people have been trying to get me to vote Democratic. Nobody tells me how to vote. I watch. I observe and listen very carefully to everything where I can make my own informed decision as to who to vote for. And okay, now the biggest story now is when the session starts, nobody's going to vote. How much per diem the legislators will be getting until after everything is over. That's backwards. That's another misleading, a very misleading issue that's happening. And so I want everyone to be informed of everything like we are, even like children in Chirac are informed of things like that. So please don't allow anyone to persuade you which way to vote and who to vote for. Be informed and make the best choice. And when one region is affected by anything, you think it's just that region that's affected. The whole globe is affected, and we all should know that.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Martin Andrew.
Good afternoon, Honorable Byron Malott, Charlie. Good afternoon. I'd like to welcome you to the southwest region of Alaska here in the community of Bethel. Again, for the record, my name is Martin Andrew. I'm representing the Organized Village of Kwikluk as the vice president. And my late mother, Annie Speen, along with my father John and my late grandparents are the late Nastasia and Adam Andrew, and I'd like to testify today on behalf of Proposition Ballot Measure 1, and here on the Kuskokwim, as you know, all the folks up, all the way down from the coast, all the way up to the headwaters, by per capita, I believe we are the highest consumers of salmon. And by supporting and passing this particular ballot measure would enhance and strengthen the outdated laws, the mining laws that would help with and sustain our salmon, and that would give a voice on the table. Another agency, which of course would be the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, and I'd like to join and welcome everyone in supporting Ballot Measure 1. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Martin. I noticed that Peter Jackson has listed maybe. Would Peter Jackson like to testify?
Good afternoon. Thanks for letting me speak there, Brian Lieutenant. I'd like to say that I've been born in 1955 at Kwikluk. I'm in Bethel. The people that here have been struggling all these years, especially when salmon seasons are on the floor, but this permit system is just going to be hurting the people, because it's going to be taking only a few portion from the Kuskokwim area to fish for their own sufficient way of life. And that's going to be hurting them. And why? It's going to be more like a commercial fishing, because we don't need no commercial fishing on our subsistence way of life. We don't need no permit system on our subsistence way of life. That's not right. It's going to be hurting them. people have been hurting all these years. They've been struggling. They've been trying to hold on to their pans just to fish. In this system right here, you've been targeting the Kuskokwim, and Kuskokwim mainly has been targeting all these years. And I haven't heard nothing out of those high sea fishing trawlers. And with their system, and what kind of system do they have down there? Are you going to keep permitting them to over-harvest the resource they're coming in here? Or are you going to just let them bypass and let them fish as much as they want to fish, while the people here are just limited to 10 fish a day? That's not even right. That's why I keep saying you're hurting the people here with the system and new guidelines that are being out nowadays, confusing the people, especially the elders. And they don't want to be hurt. And I don't want these young people to be hurt. Right now we're struggling just to go through what we're trying to go through. Thank you very much, Mr. Governor.
And you're speaking in favor of Proposition 1, Peter?
Pardon me?
Are you speaking in favor of Proposition 1?
In favor of it?
Yeah.
I'm for salmon.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Mary Mathias had also stated maybe. Thank you.
Hi, Lieutenant Governor and Mr. Charlie. My name is Mary Mathias. I am the Natural Resources Director for Aretsuga Mutant Native Council. I didn't come here prepared, you know, to make a speech, but, you know, I thought I would listen to other people testify and, you know, just to hear their inspiration, why they are fighting to stand for salmon. I am 37 years old. I'm originally from Bethel, Alaska. When I was 15, I moved away from Bethel to live in Nelson Island. And there I met my husband, Ignace Mathias. I lived out there in night mute for about 18, 19 years. Practicing how and learning the ways of gathering subsistence foods from the land and the river and the bay. And every summer is very important for all of us. We Alaskans are hard workers. We make time to work on our husband's catch. And teach our children how to work on what is being caught, like fish and moose and everything, even the birds that migrate here. Forgive me, I'm Aretsuga-Mute. They serve their tribal members. It's like one of the best tribes that I work for. And each year we work in making sure that the tribal members and people from the community get their fish. And then other times of the year, we make sure that they get their moose. And just being part of that is inspiring, because, you know, it's still part of our tradition. We can, when we make sure that it's carried on and making sure that our elders are being provided for. And standing for salmon, it helps give us a voice when our way of life, our traditional way of life, is being threatened by outsiders who wants, you know, Alaska to bend over backwards we shouldn't, the state shouldn't do that. You know, they shouldn't be willing to bend over so easily. Because we Alaskans, we heavily rely on our subsistence natural resources. And just like what my husband said, I'm quoting him, he said, all we need is like 10 gallon gas, and they go out, the men go out, and they come back with a catch that will provide for the families throughout the whole year. Our land is rich. It's rich enough, and we don't need, you know, we shouldn't have to be threatened by, you know, this Donlin Gold project. And I really hope that our voices can be heard and not shut out. That's all I have to say.
Thank you for your statement. Alyssa Nadine Rogers.
Good afternoon, Uncle Byron. It's spiritually, it is good to see you since Stanford at FNFP. My name is Amuksa Khirin. My English name is Alyssa Nadine Rogers. My mother is from Aranak and my dad is from Hooper Bay. I am a tribal member of our Tsleil-Waututh Native Tribe here in Mabdaghilk. I chair 8 regional councils and committees. I developed 4 organizations. I currently work with 2 smaller organizations that their main purpose is to protect, preserve, conserve, and manage the resources and her people. I'm currently developing a $350 million cultural and natural resources center that will also serve to preserve our history for my region. Today I come in front of you as myself and represent from myself, since these are my words. We are the poorest and the largest region in Alaska, and subsistence is our main economy. You have heard it over and over and over from the people today that have spoke before me, as you have from letters that people have written to your office. It is a privilege to comment today on behalf of ballot measure 1, and I hope this continues to comment on the proposed developments in the future if this ballot measure is to go through in the future. To give people of the proposed reasons a chance to comment and advocate their concerns about developments that could consequently destroy their livelihood, such as Donlin Gold. We didn't have a chance to advocate our concerns on Donlin Gold before the state gave them permits to develop one of the largest mines in the world. I'm sorry, but are you kidding me? It breaks my heart. It makes me want to cry, and I worry for my kids. I worry for your kids. So I am in support of Stand for Salmon because it protects our purest and main food source. You ate my salmon. I gave you a bag of strips caught from both the Yukon and the Kuskokwim rivers. You gave thanks to my mother for the delicious fish. So if you would join me, Byron, in voting yes on ballot measure 1, so we can continue to harvest these wonderful, delicious fish, I'd greatly appreciate it. And thank you for today.
Thank you, Alyssa. We have one other individual who signed up, chooses not to testify, but we'll have some time to think about it. Janelle Carl. This hearing is scheduled until 4 o'clock. We will stand in recess, and the hearing will stay open in the for the possibility that others may still choose to arrive and testify, and we will be prepared for them to sign in and deliver their testimony if they are here before the 4 o'clock adjournment. So we'll stand in recess until and unless others come to testify. So thank you so much for all of those who have testified, who are here, and for those who have left, we appreciate their testimony also. So we will stand in recess for the time being. I'll call the hearing back to order. There have been no additional individuals sign up to testify. It is now 4 o'clock, so once again, Charlie and myself would like to thank all of those who, and staff, all of those who have attended and testified this afternoon on this very important subject of ballot proposition number one, colloquially called Stand for Salmon. So at this time, this hearing is adjourned.